Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how to send our children out into an unpredictable world. Many of us have been attending our children's graduations from middle school to high school, as well as college graduations. How do we prepare them to hold on to their own values as they journey into the unknown world? My guest this evening is Marcy Lightwood, a parenting educator and seasoned group facilitator. Her energies have been focusing on parenting in the Lehigh Valley with such organizations as Parenting Educator Coordinator for the Center for Humanistic Change, a Family Support Specialist for the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, and Program Coordinator for the Project Child. She's also the program host for Morning Edition on WDIY. And she currently is the school's program coordinator for the Institute for Jewish Christian Understanding. It is a pleasure tonight to talk with Marcy Lightwood about what skills we need as parents in order to help our children become the best people they can be. Welcome, Marcy Lightwood.
I'm so glad to be here with you, Ellie. This is wonderful.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. Marcy, how did you get involved with parenting education?
Well, I was a group facilitator already, mostly on issues of conflict resolution and peacemaking, when I needed a job and I went to the Center for Humanistic Change. And I did a lot of workshops there, mostly with children, until they needed a parenting educator and someone to oversee parenting education. And they asked me, and I said, oh, no, my kids are still young. They're not done yet. I might have an axe murderer in the bunch. And they said, oh, no, just give it a try. This will help. And so I did. I took on that position and have loved working with parents ever since. I just absolutely, it's my calling, I'm sure.
We're so glad that you're doing this, because I remember as a parent with my first child, I had to rely upon Dr. Spock and I couldn't talk to him.
There wasn't much wrong with Dr. Spock. He was wonderful.
He was, but he couldn't help me with when my baby was crying, when my baby wasn't sleeping through the night. And I was fortunate to have a wonderful husband who managed to have the calm and the assurance and was able to handle baby sleeping through the night, and it worked very well.
Well, if those were the only things that we faced as parents, we would be pretty lucky. But I think what I really want to talk about is a larger framework of parenting. And my framework starts with the concept that we're not raising children. We're raising future adults, and we're raising them to take their part in society as responsible and productive citizens. And we do that by giving them skills and choices and everything to equip them to be adults, and we do it gradually through their lifespan.
Well, give us an example of giving them skills for choices. I think that is a very important one. Can you give us an example for let's say from very early childhood? The most provocative age is around 2, and then we'll go then we'll go from there.
All right,
upwards.
Well, I think of giving choices and giving children the ability to make good decisions. Much like you would exercise a muscle. You don't get strong in your arms unless you lift weights and you do it repeatedly. So you give children choices repeatedly, and you give them choices every opportunity they have. And you set the choices by giving them two things that you believe would both be satisfactory, and you don't vary from that. So let's go to that two-year-old. It's time. The two-year-old wants a drink, and you say, you may have milk or juice. You choose. And the child says, I want soda. And you say, the choices are milk or juice. You choose. And the child says, blah, blah, blah. And you say, well, honey, I would like you to make your choice, because if you don't, I'll make the choice. And usually that works. And it works best if you do it often. So it's a cold day. Do you want to wear your blue jacket or your red sweater? You choose. It's we need vegetables for dinner. Would you like to have carrots or peas? You choose.
Well, you know, that sounds it sounds like you're setting an early framework for putting the child in control, which he really wants to be.
Well, they're having enough power to be satisfied that they're not going to rebel, but actually you have all the power because you're giving them two choices and you like both of them.
But the ability to give them that choice also depends upon something within the parent.
That's right.
And if the parent, you just did it so beautifully, I would choose anything with you. It wouldn't make a difference. But we as parents, and I've seen this so many times, we don't give them the choices calmly. We get irritated when the child is not responsive. And the more unresponsive the child becomes, and this goes on all through the age, I think,
ages,
we become irritated, and I think we defeat the purpose when we lose it.
Right. I think the child feels most secure and safest if they have a parent who is in control of their own emotions. And that's also good modeling. The child will learn to be in control of their emotions if the parent is in control of theirs. When you speak calmly to a child, you're telling the child, I'm in control. Now, that's a real important message for the child to hear from you on so many levels. I always advise parents that they need to develop this firm voice, not mean, not angry, but a tone of voice that says, there's no choice here. It's my way or the highway. You don't have to say that, but you have to be able to demonstrate that. And the other thing every parent needs, and I can't do it on radio, is the parent look. You know, that look that means stop what you're doing and listen. And the better parents develop that, the more instantly they get control of their children.
So it's not only giving them a choice, but staying in control of who you be.
Yeah.
Being calm.
Right.
And when necessary, the look.
Right.
So they know you're in control. But all this is really dependent upon our ability as parents to maintain our own control over ourselves.
That's right.
And this is a very important lesson, Marcy.
And we're teaching it to future generations if we can master it ourselves. Now, nobody can master it all the time. I think my children, I have four children, they're grown, they're all adults, they're all successful. I'm proud of each and every one of them, and they all still like me. But I think if you went through and asked them how I was as a mother, they would probably say I lost it now and then. And I think that was okay background to let them know that there is a limit and they better not get there.
So is it? So what you're saying is your children recognize that you're human.
That's right.
And that it's not about being perfect all the time.
Right.
But by understanding the limits and understanding our goals in parenting. So one thing you're saying is establish a kind of an order, a feeling that they have choice, but you give them the choice.
That's right. And there's a number of ways that you give them all of those skills that they need to hit the finish line. Now, the finish line can be 19 or 25 or whenever they leave home. They need to know what to eat, what to wear, how to handle their finances, who are good people to be around and who are not good people to be around, and all of those things that the parent really controls all through their childhood. Now, you give them choices. We've already done that. We give them chores. I'm a real advocate of children doing their share in the household, not only to lighten your load and make a more cohesive family unit, but it also gives them the skills they need. My children were always the ones who got college roommates who ended up with pink underwear. And that's because their roommates had never done their own laundry, and they didn't know you don't put a red sweatshirt in with white underwear.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this evening we're talking about parenting skills, how to prepare our children to enter this unknown world. And my guest this evening is Marcy Lightwood, who is a parenting educator, and she's also the host of
Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, right. Well, you know, it was interesting when you talked about chores. I have four children as well, and when they were growing up, somehow or other, I was imbued with the idea of being the perfect parent. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the laundry, and I was doing everything, and one day, I was in the laundry room, and I had all this laundry, and I suddenly became overwhelmed, and I said to my husband, I can't do this anymore. I don't know, maybe I was trying to be Betty Furness, or I don't know, Leave It to Beaver Mom, but I suddenly said to my husband, I said, I can't do this anymore. So we had a talk, and we had all four children come down, and we set up new rules for them. And the rules were that mommy was going to do mommy and daddy's laundry and the sheets and the linens, but they had to decide they had to do their own laundry, or they could make a deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was the new rule.
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea.
Yes, and it worked. It worked. The fact was that, and I felt less overwhelmed. Yes.
Yeah. I was in a workshop once where they asked us the question, what was the most surprising thing about parenting? And none of the child behavior stuff daunted me at all, but it was the fact that there is so much laundry. That was a big surprise, is they just dirty an enormous amount of clothes.
Well, I think the important thing, though, that you mentioned is that to involve children in the maintenance of the household, mm-hmm. that everybody has to feel responsible. And I think that's the big word, Marcy, don't you? Developing a sense of family responsibility. When we lived on a farm, everybody was responsible.
That's right.
You got up in the morning, you milked the cows, took care of the chickens, then you went to school.
Right.
And you didn't necessarily have a bus.
I'm glad I didn't have to do parenting education back in the 70s when self-esteem was a big thing. And you tell children they're wonderful and then they're going to have some self-esteem. I think if you give them something to do and you teach them to do it right and they have a sense of accomplishment, that's where they get their self-esteem.
And also to praise them when they do something right.
That's right. Even praise the effort.
And praise the effort. Because very often, don't you find that we sometimes as parents, we pay too close attention to the negative and not necessarily enough to the positive.
Absolutely. And that's really true when it comes to attention. Children need your attention. They'll settle for negative attention. But wouldn't you rather give them the attention when they're doing something right?
Well, I think that's an important lesson for all of us, to make note of the little things that they do so that they can build their sense of self-esteem and self-worth. Marcy, we're going to talk more about how we can increase the levels of understanding in our children and help them become productive adults in society when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about how to prepare our children to enter the adult world of the unknown and the unpredictable. My guest this evening is Marcy Lightwood, who is a parenting educator. She is also the host of Morning Edition. And we're delighted to have you, Marcy. And we were talking about different areas in the first part of the program. But the most important thing that many of us have difficulty with is discipline. We tend to either lose it ourselves, we become angry, and we are even annoyed that we're even put in the position that we have to discipline our children.
Why didn't they do that right in the first place?
Right,
exactly,
right, exactly. And they're so cute. Why don't they act? Why don't they behave, you know, better?
Well, because they're kind of new on the planet and they don't know all the norms and they don't know all of the structure that we need to teach them. I think a way to think about discipline that's helpful to me is discipline is always about teaching. And when possible, it's about righting a wrong that you have done. Sometimes it's a mistake, and it's good to use that word with discipline, is you made a mistake and let's fix it. Rather than you made a mistake and you're bad and I'm going to make you miserable and you're going to pay. And that never works. What happens then is you get a rebellion, a boomerang.
Can you give us an example of that at work? That really is so prominent in all of our raising of children.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
I hope my oldest son hears this, and I hope I'm telling it right. But when he was about 15 years old, he was a bit of a surly teenager. He went through that for just a little while. And one day on his way out the door, I was trying to give him a limit about when to be back. And he did not like hearing that, and he, with a loud expletive and protest, kicked the wall on his way out the door. And he had steel-toed boots on, and he put a hole in the wall. And I pulled up all the calm I had. And I said, we're going to deal with that when you get home. Be home at 10. And he left angry, and I was left to think about what was going to happen. Well, I really believe that if you can make restitution, that's the best way to teach a child that their wrongs can be corrected. So the next morning was Saturday. We went to the hardware store, and he learned a brand new skill. He now knows how to patch plaster and fix drywall. That was his punishment. The discipline is not necessarily about punishment. Sometimes it's about righting that wrong, and that's what he did.
Well, I think that's most important. That's a very important distinction, because we do look, when you hear the word discipline, I'm sure that so many listeners think of immediately punishment. Right. You did that, you get punished.
Right.
Your punishment is. And you didn't listen, now it's going to be off to bed. Or, you know,
right.
But what you're saying is a little different. That was a wonderful example, that you really didn't raise a ruckus. You didn't say, look, you hit the wall, you made a hole, shut the door, you're going up to your room.
Right. Going up to his room was not related to the crime. And I like it when you can make the consequence of their misbehavior related to the crime somehow. So if, for instance, they're sneaky and they go in and they eat all the chocolate chips, and the next time you go to bake, there's nothing there to use to make cookies, you're not going to ground them for that. Instead, maybe you'd make them work the equivalent time that it would take to buy a bag of chocolate chips. Or maybe you would make them walk to the store and purchase it and bring it back. Or, you know, something like that, something that was related. And there's always a range of things you can do.
Well, that's a different way of looking at it. It's making the punishment fit the crime.
Absolutely.
So it's not really a punishment. It's a helping them to assess and make and to think about it.
Right.
You're not pulling a punishment out. You're helping them to think about it. There's something also about pre-warning them.
Yes.
Very often, particularly as children get older, they need to know in advance some of the consequences of the behavior so they can have a chance to think about it before they act.
Right. That leads into something I like to talk about, norms in a household. You know, every household has norms. That means they are rules. Sometimes they're written and said out loud. Sometimes they're just assumed. We assume kids know what to do in the household. So, for instance, some norms in some households are we must say please and thank you or you don't get what you want. Some of the norms are we share our goods with other people. You're not going to come out with a snack and eat it alone unless you have enough for everybody. Those would be norms. But sometimes we fail to tell our children what the norms are, and then we punish them for doing something, as you said, we never told them about in the first place. So what's good, I think, is to say those norms out loud. As kids get older, you can post signs and notices. You know, I had to post one above our kitchen sink that this is not where dirty dishes go. They go into the dishwasher or you wash them,
uh-huh.
You know, and that sign was there for a while. So norms are, this is the way we behave. Now, the very best way to teach norms is to do it yourself and become a good model, because kids are natural mimics. Why do our children learn to speak English and not German? Because we speak English to them around the house. You know, why do they learn to wear clothes and shoes? Because we wear clothes and shoes. But the same thing goes with most of the norms we are saying. If we use bad language, for instance, our children will use bad language. It's just, they mimic, they're natural mimics.
So we have to really be careful of our own behavior around our children.
That's right. You have to grow up when you become a parent.
Yes, we have to model what we say.
That's right.
It's not, we have not only to speak the words, we have to model the behavior so that we're not just saying words, we're giving them an example of whom we want them to be like. Not be this way, even though I'm not. Because that cancels it out, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do. Never, never works.
Right. And there's another thing that sometimes children grow up with inner voices.
Mm.
Inner voices that we don't even know that they have.
That's right. We all do. We all have those inner voices, and they come from a variety of sources, but primarily the strongest ones come from our parents when we're very young. There's a great quote by Peggy O'Mara, who was a premier parenting educator. She wrote a magazine, or she edited a magazine called Mothering. And the quote is, "The way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice." And I think all of our listeners, if you stopped for just a moment and think about some of the self-concepts you have and think about where you got them, it's very likely that your mother or your father, your grandparents, or someone very influential said that to you at some point, and that's how you think about yourself.
That's a very important concept. And sometimes and our own parental behaviors get translated into inner voices, so that if we are unkind or we tend to lose our tempers very frequently, that becomes translated into an inner voice. Would you agree with that, Marcy?
I would. I would say we need to choose our words carefully with our children. Whenever you say, "You're such a slob," or even, "You're so pretty," both of those have an influence on how that child thinks about themselves. If a girl grows up thinking being pretty is the only thing that really matters, that harms her in the long run because she needs skills other than that to get along in the in life. If we say our children, "Oh, he's so naughty," and don't think that it's just the things we say to them. It's sometimes the things we say about them. Don't think they don't listen when you're talking to your sister on the phone or your you know, friends in a circle. They're nearby and they're listening. And when you tell your friends, "She drives me crazy," the voice that child has in her head now is, "I make my mom crazy. When my mom's crazy, it's all my fault."
And they carry it with them.
They do. We all do.
We carry it with them into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to understand. Marcy, you also do some work with prisoners who are being released. They're being released from prison, and you do some parenting classes
right
with them. Can you give us an example of a success story that you've had with that?
Yeah, I just love doing that. These men are in the Community Corrections Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and they're about to be released, and they need to do a few things to get out. And one of them is, if they have children, they attend parenting classes. Now, instead of teaching them very hands-on skills with their kids, like how to give a bath or how to change a diaper, I concentrate on teaching them how to build a relationship with their children, because often they have been away from their children and they feel very guilty about this. Just because they're so-called criminals doesn't mean they're not good fathers and they don't love their children. They do, and they very much want to build a relationship when they get back. So we do a lot of work on how to reentry, you know, how to start a relationship with this child who may not know them anymore. And I had a case where I was doing an after-school program in the Allentown School District, and one of the people who had graduated from my parenting class was in the audience seeing his daughter in this puppet show we were doing. And he came up to me afterwards, and he was grinning, and he said, "Thank you so much. I use what you taught me every single day, and we are building a good relationship."
Isn't that wonderful
it
to hear?
It is.
So I think that's very important for all of us to hear, that no matter what has happened in our lives, we can, so long as we're able to accept responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this gentleman, he paid his time, but he was willing to accept responsibility and to come back and rebuild his relationship with his daughter.
That's right. Because one of the other things I tell them is they have a relationship with their child. Whether they work on it and make it positive or not, they have a relationship. Their child is half of them, and the children feel very strongly about each parent, whether they're there or whether they're absent. So when that child is 30 years old, they're going to be talking about their old man, their dad, and they're either going to say, "Well, my dad made a mistake, and he went to jail, and he was gone for a while, but when he got out, boy, we were just solid. He was there for me all the time." Or they're going to say, "My dad was no good. He went to jail, and I seldom ever heard from him again. He didn't pay us support. He didn't pay any attention."
Well, you know, we're not going to have enough time, but could you briefly, and I'm sorry about this, but could you briefly talk about the impact of people who are possibly considering divorce and what they have to consider as parents?
Well, that would be a whole show by itself.
Well,
but one of the things I can say is Just like those children are your children forever, you're tied to that partner forever. And those children that you created will have graduations and marriages, and they'll have grandchildren. And you need to nurture a positive relationship with them. Doesn't mean you have to like them, but you have to be able to co-parent with them.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Marcy Lightwood, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that we as parents need to be role models for our own ideas, that we also need to have the courage to let go and be available when needed. And there is a wonderful quote that you have given me from Dr. Deborah Prothrow Stith. Your children will get your time, your attention, and your money, one way or the other. You choose how that was going to happen. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.